This morning we'd like to continue our thoughts on the different types and aspects of salvation that's presented in Scripture. We'd like to think about these in two broad categories of salvation that occurs in eternity and salvation that occurs here in time. We've considered salvation that occurs in eternity, where we are saved from eternal death by grace alone. Today, we would like to consider a specific aspect of salvation that occurs here in time, here in a temporal setting that we can see around us, and that is by obedience to the gospel message. Now, the gospel implores the child of God to believe the gospel, to confess Jesus Christ, to conform their life to the teaching of Scripture, to submit to believers' baptism, and to walk faithfully in discipleship after that time. So we want to think about all these together this morning of salvation that occurs here in time, of these different admonitions that relate to gospel obedience. It's very important to remember that salvation in eternity is by grace alone, and all the different types of time salvation that we'll consider this morning as relates to gospel obedience are all conditional salvations, and that means that a man has to perform a work to partake in this deliverance or this salvation. He has to believe the gospel. He has to confess Jesus Christ. He has to submit to believers' baptism. He has to study the Word of God. And he has to remain faithful to the teaching of Scripture as he walks here in this world. So, because a condition is required for this salvation to be accomplished, this has nothing to do with salvation in eternity. And this is important because the majority of the things that we will consider today is a necessary condition that the majority of churches would like to place on eternal salvation. But this is very important to understand the distinction that the salvation that is procured by man performing these actions, whether it be belief, confession, or baptism, has no effect on a man's eternal state, but rather the child of God that has already been quickened by the Spirit of God can partake of deliverances from all of the wickedness that's around us, from salvation from the untoward generation, salvation from the bondage of works, salvation from the bondage of false teaching. They can be saved from ignorance to the knowledge of the truth. There are multiple types of deliverances that the child of God can have here in this world when they believe the gospel and continue in faithful discipleship. But this has no bearing on a man's eternal state before God, and it has no bearing on a man's eternal salvation. You see, grace and works are not just incompatible. It's not just that grace and works are oil and water. It's that grace and works are diametrically opposed to each other. I mean, one is by definition the opposite of another. Romans 11:6 says, "And if by grace, then it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more of grace, otherwise work is no more work." And you see, grace, by definition, is unmerited favor. So if a work is a condition for one receiving that favor, then by definition it cannot be grace because it's no longer unmerited favor, it is now merited favor. So it's not just that they're oil and water and they don't mix. It's that grace is the exact definition of the opposite of works. The definition of darkness is the absence of light. The definition of death is the absence of life. And the definition of grace is the absence of works. It can have nothing to do with works. So when we see these conditions that are required for this salvation to occur, we need to make sure that we clearly understand that these have no bearing on salvation in eternity, but they have to do with salvation for the child of God here in this time as they sojourn and walk in discipleship here in this world. First, we would like to consider from 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, specially of those that believe." Notice the language here that God is the Savior of all men. Now, this does not mean all men without exception, but rather it means all men without distinction. Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, circumcision nor uncircumcision, male nor female, but we are all one in Jesus Christ. So he's the Savior of all men without distinction. He's the Savior of all the elect, because the elect was the group that was given to him on the cross to save, that he did save fully and completely. So he's the Savior of all men, but notice the second clause, "specially of those that believe." So Jesus Christ fully completed the work of salvation on the cross for all men. He is the Savior of all men that he came to die for. But there is a special salvation here in this world for those that hear and believe the gospel, who is the Savior of all men, specially of those that believe. So there is a unique, special blessing for the child of God here in the gospel kingdom and in the church when we hear and believe the message of salvation by grace and the finished work of Jesus Christ. A special salvation that is in addition to our eternal salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." So Paul was not concerned about going and trying to preach the gospel to the entire world in hopes that he can convert people to eternal life. Rather, he actually prayed in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 to be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. He didn't desire to convert them to the truth and save them to heaven, but he understood his commission to preach was not to save the world, it was to minister to the elect. So he endured all things, not for the world's sake, but he endured all things for the elect's sake. So it's the elect that are going to obtain the salvation that's in the latter half of this verse, in verse 10, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That word "with" there means an accompaniment. So there are things that accompany eternal glory. And when the elect hear and believe the gospel here in this world, they can receive a salvation, a special salvation, that is an accompaniment, that is in addition to the salvation that was secured only by the grace and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is one of the things that fall into the category from Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9. "But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak." There's many blessings here in this world, in the gospel kingdom, that accompany our eternal salvation. But one of these that we're considering here today is hearing and believing the gospel. So belief of the gospel is not how someone is saved to heaven in eternity, but rather it is a salvation here in time that accompanies the salvation that we have already been given by Jesus Christ. So as we consider the various types of time salvation as it relates to obedience of the gospel message for the child of God, we'd like to go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So the one that hears the gospel, that believes the gospel, it is salvation to them. It is a salvation that is an accompaniment to eternal salvation. And this again gives us a distinction of the all men that is oftentimes illustrated in these verses, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's not principally to the chosen nation of Israel in the Old Testament, but rather it's to the Greek as well. It's to all men, not just to the chosen nation of Israel. And you'll notice the preaching of the gospel and the belief of the gospel is God's ordained means for revealing God's righteousness from one to another. Verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So one of the effects of the belief of the gospel and the salvation is that the righteousness of God is revealed. Keep that in mind later as well as we make our way over to the text in Romans chapter 10. But before then, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Now, it's important to know the context that's under consideration here. So for that, we need to go back up to verse 18 as well. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." So the preaching of the cross doesn't mean anything to someone who has not received the Spirit of God already in their heart, but for the elect that have already been quickened, unto us which, notice the language, are saved, those that have already been saved for eternity, those that are saved by Jesus Christ, when we hear and believe the gospel, it is the power of God unto us. So the people that's under consideration that are saved by belief are those that are already saved in verse 18. Read verse 21 again. "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. But unto us which are saved," in verse 18, those that have already been saved by Jesus Christ, there's a salvation that accompanies that eternal salvation if we hear and believe the gospel. And you may have noticed that same distinction as we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10, that the salvation that accompanies eternal glory is only for the elect, because Paul endured all things to preach the gospel for the elect's sake. So it's the elect that can receive this special salvation in believing the gospel. Now we'd like to go to Romans chapter 10, start reading in verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. But they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So Paul desired for his natural kindred, the Jews, to be saved by hearing and believing the gospel. He saw that they had a zeal of God. He believed that they were born again. But the problem, what they needed to be saved from, was ignorance. Verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So they had confidence in their own righteousness before God. They were ignorant that their righteousness is just filthy rags. And you'll remember from Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, the gospel is how the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. So when one hears the gospel, they understand, as it tells us in verse 4, that Christ is the end of the law to righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, Christ is the end of the law to righteousness to every child of God, period. There is no other means that men are made righteous in the sight of God, but only by the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. But one does not view that in their own mind, that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, unless they believe in him, you see. And then in verse 9, but if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the end of the law, but there's also a condition that if you confess publicly that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you shall receive an additional deliverance. When you place your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, instead of trying to place your faith in your own righteousness, there is a deliverance from that bondage. Because, you see, when you place your hope of salvation upon a work that you've performed, whether it be belief or confession, you will inevitably descend to doubting that salvation, doubting that work that you performed. But when you believe that Jesus Christ alone is the end of the law for righteousness, you can be saved from all that fear and that dread that I did not perform the work correctly, and I'm actually not saved, and I'm actually not a child of God. But these men were saved from ignorance. Well, if we're saved from something, then we have to be saved to something. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. So in what manner does God desire for all men to be saved here in time? He desires for all the elect children of God that are sitting in ignorance, that think that there is some means of righteousness other than the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They need to be saved from that ignorance, and if you're saved from ignorance, then what are you saved to? You're saved to knowledge. Saved to the knowledge of the truth. And that's the salvation that's under consideration in Romans chapter 10. There were children of God that had a zeal of God, that had been born again, but they were placing their hope of salvation, their hope of righteousness, in their own works. And Paul said, I desire for all of those children of God to be saved to the knowledge of the truth. And the knowledge of the truth is that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. He's the only hope of salvation for sinners. In Acts chapter 2, Peter has just finished delivering this scathing message to the Jews who had crucified Jesus Christ, and his admonition to them is to repent and believe on Jesus Christ. Verse 37, those elect that had already been born again, they were convicted in their heart. Now when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as our Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So these devout men that were already quickened by the Spirit of God, they were convicted by this preaching, and they said, and they asked Peter, what do we need to do? He says, you need to repent and you need to be baptized. And he says, you need to do this to save yourselves from this untoward generation, to save yourselves from all the wickedness of this world. Because when we place our hope in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation, we have a hope of a better country. We have a faith that Jesus Christ saved us in eternity, and because he did, at the end of time, we shall ever be with the Lord. And that saves you here in this world. Romans 8 and 24 tells us we are saved by hope. We have a hope of something better. But if you don't have the knowledge of that hope, then you're not going to be saved in this sense, here in this time, from this wicked generation around us. We're saved from this untoward generation when we have a hope of eternal life and place faith in Jesus Christ as the only means of that eternal life. You'll notice the admonition that Peter gave these men is you need to believe, you need to repent, but you need to be baptized as well. And there's a salvation here in time in the gospel kingdom when a child of God submits to believer's baptism. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, this gives us the distinction of eternal salvation and an additional special salvation for the child of God here in time, because in verse 18 is where eternal salvation was completed. For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So that's eternal salvation. This is structured much the same way as it was in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, unto us which are saved, but then there's an additional salvation for those that believe the gospel. So it's structured the same way here, interestingly enough, with the same verse references. In verse 18 is eternal salvation, and then in verse 21 is the time salvation, when a man meets the condition of submitting to believer's baptism. Verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you have any question about how baptism saves us, the text is quite clear. Where does it save us? What's the context and the setting that it saves us? Doth also now save us? Baptism doesn't save us to heaven in eternity, but it saves us here and now. And in what manner does it save us? Not the putting away of the filth of flesh. It is not what saves us and cleanses us and makes us pure in the sight of God. Only the shed blood of Lord Jesus Christ did that. So it's not eternal salvation that putting away the filth of the flesh, but it's the answer of a good conscience toward God. When we submit to the command of God to make a picture that we are laying down our life in a watery grave of baptism and we are arising out of that immersed grave to walk in newness of life, when a child of God believes the gospel, confesses Jesus Christ, which are precursors to baptism, the only proper subject of baptism is a believer who has confessed Jesus Christ, and the only proper mode is by immersion, not by sprinkling or any other type. But when the child of God submits to believer's baptism, they will have a good conscience, a peace in their heart, that not only have they believed in the Lord, they've put confidence in the Lord, they've confessed that publicly, verified that they believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that's what baptism is a picture of, that we are fully immersed in the water, a picture of Jesus' death and burial, and then we arise out of that, a picture of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when we not only confess that publicly, but when we submit to believer's baptism, we are saved from the condemnation of our own conscience. And we now have a good, peaceful conscience before God because of our obedience to his command. And then, after you have submitted to believer's baptism and become a member of the Lord's church, there's also a salvation when we continue to walk faithfully here in his kingdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein you stand. So I know that you've believed the gospel. I know you are firmly planted in the gospel, but now you need to continue in the gospel. Verse 2, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. So notice, these are men in the Corinthian church that had already believed the gospel. The end of verse 1, which also ye have received and wherein you stand. He said, I know you believe the gospel and I know you're committed to the gospel, but I want to admonish you to continue faithfully by keeping this gospel and keeping this word in your memory. And if you continue in this faithful discipleship, you will continue to receive deliverances and salvation here in this world in a timely sense in God's church kingdom. And furthermore, in Proverbs 28 and verse 18, "Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once." If you continue to walk uprightly here in this world, you will receive the blessing of God. But if you are perverse, you will utterly descend into destruction, into that wide and the broad gate, where the end thereof is death and destruction. So, if you continue to walk faithfully here in this world, in the straight gate and the narrow way, what are you saved from? You're saved from all the perils and the heartache and the destruction that is inevitably the end result of the wide gate and the broad way, that you can be saved from when you continue to be faithful here in this world. So, salvation in eternity is only by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, but this morning we've considered conditional salvations here in time, here in a temporal setting that we can see around us, when we believe the gospel, when we confess Jesus Christ, when we submit to believers' baptism and we continue faithfully here in this world, when we believe we are saved from ignorance and saved to the knowledge of the truth, we can be saved from this untoward generation and all the wickedness that's around us, when we have a hope of something better and we place our hope in Jesus Christ, and we can be saved from the condemnation of disobedience of God and have the answer of a good conscience toward God, when we submit to believers' baptism, and we can avoid all the perils of the wickedness of this world when we continue faithfully in the Word of God and partake of the blessings in the gospel kingdom, in the straight gate and the narrow way. So, this is one aspect of salvation here in time as it relates to the various commands to hear and believe the gospel and continue faithfully in that regard. And we'll consider some other aspects of time salvation on our future broadcast, some circumstances in Scripture where we're told we can save ourselves and save others, which obviously has nothing to do with salvation in eternity. It has to do with here in time, because there is absolutely no way we can save ourselves or save others to eternity in heaven. That's only by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we'd like to consider the specific aspect of providence, of God's deliverances of His children here in this world. We hope you can return with us for those messages. But until that time, we pray God will richly bless you and you continue to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God bless you.